I'm Demelo Roberts, stage and studio on Arts Watch. Olga Kratsova is a Russian-born movement director, performer, and interdisciplinary artist who lives in Portland. She's opening a new solo show called Harvest of Woman at Coho Theater, which she describes as a raw excavation of women's unseen labor, endurance, and survival. She first workshopped her piece at the Fertile Ground Festival and is now premiering it on July 4th through the 6th at Coho. And joining me right now is Olga Kratsova. Good to meet you, Olga.
Hello, Dime. I'm so happy to be here and to finally make all the systems work. I don't know if it's needed to say.
Yeah, we had a little bit of technical difficulty, but I think we got through it okay, and you sound good. So I just want to just start off first, because you've had quite a journey. When I first read about your new show, it really got my attention, especially now with Russia in the news so much. And I was interested in hearing about your immigrant story. Is that something you'd mind sharing with us a little bit about your journey?
Oh my gosh, yes. I don't know what even start with, because I had a lot of, I wouldn't exaggerate if I would say trauma about it, but at this point, I'm just laughing at my journey. I mean, I moved here to Oregon from Moscow in 2013. And my father had a huge journey through starting in Perestroika, through all sort of circles of hell, picking berries in Alaska, got kidnapped in a boat, fishing boat, and finally brought his family here in Oregon. And I'm extremely privileged to kind of step in and kind of complete his dream, if you wish. But I start as an artist, I start cleaning water park, which is Wings and Waves in McMinnville, where I was hired as custodio. And I didn't know I was hired as a custodio because I didn't speak English. And I was just smile and act as I'm American. Yeah. So I graduate UW, University of Washington in Seattle last year, which was excavating of all my different artistic things. I don't know. I have been trained in Stanislavski system back home, and I also have education in the Russian folk dance. So all of that is bubbling. And finally, I'm out of academia and I can breathe freely and start to kind of see what artist I am. And yeah, and I was taking care of my father when he was dying, and was very difficult and very interesting cultural thing, because in US, you perceive death very differently. People kind of dying and they're going to die. And Russia would do everything to kind of keep them alive, or it's just very different. It was very shocking for me. And right now I'm a caregiver for my mom, which another, like, I cannot take it seriously because it's too dark. And she moved here in 2016 and reunited with my father, and 2 months after he died from cancer. So right now she's in Portland, and it's very interesting. She doesn't speak English. She isolated by herself here. It's hard to learn new things. And I feel that all affecting me as I was developing Harvest of Woman, along with all the stereotypes that kind of dragging me with, like, a darkness. I'm too intense. I'm too sad. Why can't I be just happy? And I just don't know why. So I just decided, like, let it bubble. Let's go with that. Let's go with the folklore. Yeah.
So you've brought in a lot of different experiences and everything and just what you said to me. But what I got out of it is that you've had quite a long journey with your father and your mother, you know, coming here. When did you actually move to Portland?
I moved during COVID, but to Oregon, I moved in 2013. So during COVID, I moved to Portland. Then I got into the University of Washington MFA program and moved to Seattle for a little bit. And I'm kind of recently re-entering Portland and see what's waiting for me here. Yeah.
That makes sense. Are you at all connected with the Russian community here? Or, you know, is there a way that you can, I don't know if you know about IRCO, the Immigrant Refugee Community Organization. I don't know if you have connections with that for your mom, but they do have programs for seniors there too.
Yeah, I don't know. Everyone, this is so strange. This Slavic, I would just say Russian-speaking community in general are very different. I don't know how to even explain it. There's everyone very separate and have their own kind of planet that they're in. Although there is some theatrical community here in Oregon, in Portland, with Full House Theater, as I know, or some other theaters, but I feel like, yeah, it's just different. It's just different rather than other cultures for some reason. Doesn't feel like solid and something that you can relate to. I don't know.
Yeah, not all immigrants have the same backgrounds for sure. So I can hear that. I am wondering, did you find as an immigrant artist that Portland was welcoming to you?
Ooh, in general, being as who I am, I'm a pretty intense person, as I found out. I work hard and I'm very much in my element. So it might come out for some people as too direct, too intense, too grim, maybe, I don't know, gloomy. So I start very, very carefully with Portland. So I don't know. And Harvest of Women in Fertile Ground had been success for me. People were so nice. And I was very surprised how much good feedback and interest I received. So that was great. Yeah. But also I feel like even though my piece is not Russian or something, I try to make it universal or understandable for everyone. In general, Russian thing is kind of in trend these days. So everyone likes to either play Russian roles or take Russian material. And it's something that looks cool these days. So I don't know. I didn't get to play Russian roles yet. It's in a high demand, I guess, but maybe someday.
Well, yeah, it seems like there are, you know, like I was thinking of Mother Russia at Profile Theater. I was going, did you audition for that or did they know about you? I saw your acting reel and you're very good. You're really good. And so, you know, I sometimes wonder, though, when, you know, immigrant artists move to Portland, especially in theater, how that affects your ability to get roles, you know, because you do have a dialect, which I think is wonderful. And I'm wondering, but is there any kind of bias against that or anything like that that you've encountered?
Yes. Going to UW in general, I had this idea that I will try to eliminate my accent because it does prevent me to play multiple roles, eliminate my ability to play roles, really, which I have been told I need to embrace my own voice. And that's not what they do these days, no matter what I want. So yeah, I'm very limited. If it would be a Russian play, just as, say, Chekhov, and I will stand out because my dialect is different than American Russian dialect. And then I cannot play American with my dialect because I have a dialect. So it's just very, very strange.
It is interesting, though, because I think American means anything at this point, you know, at least in my mind. So I just think it's interesting that that can still be a roadblock to things of people's perceptions of what American means. I encourage you to use your voice as well. Let's talk about Harvest of Woman. It sounds like it really does reflect your life right now in many ways. I mean, you're a caregiver probably twice, with your father and now with your mom. How much does this show, this piece that you've created, is drawn from your, not just your immigrant experience, but your just what you're going through right now in life?
The whole show in general, very not typical American, which I realized while I start to shaping it. There is not storyline, there is no arc, there is no heroic person that overcomes something. There is no resolution. If you think about the material that I am raised on, like Russian literature, all the Russian art, it's just very bright, but it's also bleak and it's circled. It's circled, spiraling with this unresolved problems. So the women that I brought into Harvest, they, all of them very cornered. they cornered in their situation, their societal expectation, family expectations, or they're just waiting for something. But the thing, there is no resolution for them. But because they're not heroic, they're not in the front line of, oh, let's just highlight this person or this problem. Those problems are very settled and normally not spoken about. Some of those characters I actually made up from my own problems that I was speaking on my type recorder, and it was like, why this has happened? And then I tried to see like, oh, this is actually look like this woman archetype that I brought to life afterwards. And with all the problems and struggle, I try to create unique environment and world for each of them, where their problem actually make total sense. Like, you know, if you travel to different country, you're like, oh my God, how they do this? But they do this, and that's totally fine with them. They just survive like that.
Everybody's reality is relative to, you know, their experiences and what, you know, an outsider might think is different from what an insider, you know, is experiencing. So I can understand that. I'm wondering how much you of your, because you're both a movement artist as well as a performer, how much have you combined, you know, your acting skills as well as your movement skills for this show?
I use all what I know is a part of me, part is of language that I speak. So it's actually, I'm in a very amazing situation right now after this rigid MFA program training and with knowledge of Stanislavski, and also like all the characters are going through the body experience. So I just start to speak with that. It's either writing or looking around or touching something or writing or moving, whatever it is, it's all mixed. I just observe what I know, what I saw, and whatever is not needed in this moment, just falling off. I don't know how to explain it. Yeah, I just use what I can speak with. That's all.
It sounds like you're using all your skills, you know, you're using everything for your show. You sent me a sampling, an audio sampling of your work, and I'd like to play it now and have you describe the type of movement or what's happening with this wonderful sonic sampling that you sent me.
So all the sound and music is made by Jason Okamoto, which is my long-term collaborator. He is amazing, and he can listen with his eyes, and he can understand me, which is I really appreciate. This is in the bones of the harvest. There's two things happening, I feel. There is a potter, Casey Rene, who is making clay art alive, and there's the characters that come out of her creation. This sound is Potter theme. So during April performance, we try to think about contrast, like very dark, gloomy characters and very beautiful, harmonious Potter theme. But it doesn't work like that. If you don't have darkness in you, you cannot make some dark stuff, I feel. So this is theme of the Potter, and it's cyclical, it's returns and transforms through the performance.
You mentioned the collaborators, and when I read about it, I thought, how are you doing, you know, visual art with this? But you've explained it well. So you actually have a clay artist who's creating on stage with you. Is that correct?
Yes, yes. Casey Renee, she's amazing. Her main medium would be the immersive installation, which is also part of the Harvest of Women.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. It's really interesting. So there's a visual component as well as you going through your movement and performing too. So it's really interesting combining all those. Why did you think of combining all of that for this piece?
Honest answer, I don't know. I was just one day, I was like, I need a potter. Like literally, I had a picture sometimes in my head and I just know I need this. And I'm so grateful. There is no one judging me or giving me grades or like why and what. I just went for it. And I found a Casey just all sudden, and she happens to be great friend and collaborator now, and I feel it's just a destiny. I don't know. Yeah, there's a few things that I feel, and they don't have words yet. So as in a play or in a piece, in a show, there are some things that I cannot really explain, but I hope that audience will feel with me and go with me in this journey. But yeah, it's a symbol of labor. It's a symbol of making. It's something that people can see alive on stage, creation of the piece. It's also dirty. It's muddy. It has weird sounds. It's also awkward. It's just all of it. It's like, I didn't have a goal, I guess. It just came up.
It sounds like you were just totally being creative and doing whatever the heck you want with this, you know, with the people that you want to work with. So I'm wondering, is this a type of show that you can travel? Can you tour this anywhere? Or do you have any hopes for that?
Oh my gosh, yes. I would love to. I love Coho Space, and I love how close show is to the audience, the close proximity to the act. And I'm also very curious to explore other spaces. We'd have like more space for Kenzie, for her installation, maybe some room for Jason, for his art as well. He's also a photographer and a videographer. He has a show in the Brassworks Gallery in August as well. So there is something that whole team would like to explore more. And I would like to take it outside of Portland, of course. Yes, I feel because it's such a small, intimate piece, I cannot bring like 200 people in the room. It's very limited. And I'd like to keep it like that. That's what piece needed. So I would like to tour around for sure. And I try to learn how to make it happen these days.
It also sounds like it can be universal, that it's not language-based.
Yes and no. There is some words there. It's a lot of spoken word there. I feel there is a potential to have less language. But okay, so my mom came to see the show, and she doesn't speak English. And she understood everything. Not exact what characters say, but she's like, well, I get it. This is very unfortunate situation that those women are in, and in their magical, surreal, crooked world. But she understood everything. So I don't think language is a problem here. Would be a problem if people don't speak English.
Have you thought of adding any Russian to it?
I did many times, many times. And you know what? I have to listen to the piece, and I have to be very careful and be very diligent about what the work needed and what characters are fit to this lineup, if you wish, to this piece. I had few characters who are Russian, but maybe it's not the right piece yet. I have a lot of work that right now in drafts and scraps, and I wish someday they will have space to breathe. But this piece, I don't think if I will bring something very specifically Russian, it will not feel exact what it needed. Yeah.
It's definitely a work in progress, because I hear you as you're going through your thought process that you are creating up until the moment that you debut this on July 4th, that you're still working on it. I'm wondering, what kind of advice would you give to artists who are immigrants, like more recent immigrants, who want to be able to perform their art or create their art still here? What advice do you give them as they're starting out?
I feel when you start out anything, like literally anything, you're in a huge empowerment, because you can say and do whatever you want without consequences. Without consequences that come from you internally, like without judgment, without anything. So it's like a kid playing. We don't judge how good is your game or how good is your whatever you're making up there. Just try to make something and speak up. And truly, the sky's the limit. And it's really important to remember, just be true to yourself and try to say something that you wanted to say or to do. And I'm still learning this myself. And be patient. That's advice for myself, because I'm very impatient.
This is sort of, for me, from my, you know, actor theater experience, is the Stanislavski, you know, that you learned in Russia, how well has America interpreted that here? You know, because I there's a lot of Stanislavski training here, but I'm wondering, is there a difference?
Oh my God, I love this question. It's really funny. Yes, it is different. I didn't know there is a difference before I moved here. And Americans took it to the extreme. When I moved here in US, and specifically at UW, and also talking to my colleagues here, artists, it is a huge difference. And I feel like Americans took it to different level. In Moscow, where I'm from, there is 5 major schools. And wherever you go, you know exactly what each element means, what objectives, or what obstacles, what bits are. And here, oh my gosh, depends what's the language director speaks. I mean, like their interpretation of those elements. They can mean totally different things and totally different meaning. It doesn't really matter if you're good, you're good. You just need to try to embrace the material and do your work. But it's very, I would say, diverse in here. Like I didn't know how many interpretations of one thing could be. Yeah, so it is pretty different. Did I explain that? I don't know.
I'm not sure. It sounded to me like you were saying that there's a lot of different types of interpretations of Stanislavski here, that there was actually a one interpretation in Russia. Did I get that right?
Yes, totally.
Oh, that's interesting. So basically any teacher interprets it any way that they want.
Kinda. Yes. It's like different, but I feel like I learn it's important when there's a Stanislavski terms comes to the table during like a table read or something. You need to clarify what do you mean by those. Are you talking about obstacles? Are you talking about, what are you talking about? Like, yeah.
Okay.
And in Russia, it's kind of a universal thing. Maybe it's boring, but it's more clear there.
Okay. Do you have any final thoughts about your show that you feel like you haven't talked about that you want to talk about?
Well, one thing that I feel my interest was very into this season, this year with this show and another residency that I had. So The Harvest of Women is the conclusion of the residency at Coho Theater. And I was thinking mostly about the audience and how to talk to people in audience, how to build those connections that would be seamless and fair, and how can we get on the same page? Because I see sometimes beautiful work on stage and you see very important topics in a very vulnerable actors or situation. And the audience that sees this are never experienced that, let's say that. And good if they're empathetic people, and I believe they are, and they came to theater. But like how to make them feel, how to make them understand even a little bit more to what's happening on stage. So I cannot just yell at them. I cannot trick them. I cannot say, you laughed at that. Now you did not laugh at the right thing. So I try to create this space for the audience where we can share things together without push, without wow. I mean, the show has to be entertaining, but at the same time, it's not my goal. My goal is conversation with people and be close to them and hope that they will feel something. Yeah. I like to stay connected to them, to feel their breath and to feel the energy. And if something changes in the space, I leave the room for that too.
And what is it that you hope for yourself in the future?
My future goals, keep creating, and I hope I will, it will be good with together with matching with take care of my mom and just not live normal life. But I hope it will be more spaces for me to be able to make things and more audience to connect to, just to learn more things, because unfortunately, maybe fortunately, and I like producing part of the creating, you need to learn so many things, not just how to make things or how to see things from the stage, but how you even wrap this, how you deliver this, how you talk to audience. many things. And I like that. It's very challenging, and I'm very eager to learn all of that. Even like whatever we did, the Q-Lab for the sound, like the building platforms. I don't know. I don't care. I like that. How to make programs. All of that is very exciting for me. And I do take it as a part of the making as well.
Yeah, I think producing is one of the top skills you can have as a as an artist, you know, self-producing your work rather than waiting for somebody to produce it for you. So good for you. You know, a lot of people don't know that, and you're off to a great start. It's been great talking with you, Olga Kratsova. I wish you well and break legs on your show that you have coming up at Coho. You can find out more info about Olga's show, which is running July 4th through the 6th at Coho Productions or Coho Theater. And she has tickets available at olgakratsova.com, or you can just go to stageandstudio.org or orartswatch.org, where I have all that info about her and her show. Thank you for this time, Olga.
Thank you so much.
That's it for Stage and Studio on Arts Watch. Till the next conversation, I'm Dee Maylo Roberts.